Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As I looked at the text for this week, I thought how appropriate that these texts came on this week. This is what we normally refer to as Good Shepherd Sunday. And the images of shepherd and sheep wind their way through these texts. But for us, they're kind of difficult images because hardly any of us here, I suppose, have ever been shepherds or have owned sheep. So the images kind of escape us in some ways. In fact, if you call someone a sheep in this society, they will take it as an insult. So it's hard to identify. In these readings, we have sheep, we have flocks of them, if you will. In Psalm 23, probably the most memorized text in the Bible other than the Lord's Prayer, we meet the Lord's sheep as represented by the psalmist. And according to the psalmist, the Lord's sheep do not need anything. They lie around in green pastures. They wander beside quiet, placid waters. They walk along straight paths, and paths of righteousness, which you could say are paths with justified margins, never straying to right or left, either way. And you notice what? There's a table spread out before them. Very pastoral scene, until you notice that the path of righteousness could also mean the path of justice. And we also notice that the poem talks about walking fearlessly through valleys that are like night, that are full of deep shadows, are full of danger. And then we notice that the table that's spread out with abundant food is surrounded by enemies. And so the pastoral scene takes on a darker cast, and it's no longer quite so pleasant to contemplate. And the sheep in the psalm are complicated creatures. They have a double consciousness. They believe in the shepherd's providence on the one hand, but that belief does not blind them to the terrors on the other hand, the terrors that await them. And it begins to look more like radical trust than blind obedience. In this opening scene in John's gospel, it's similar in mood. Jesus is walking in the portico of Solomon in the temple, taking a recreational moment, I imagine, at this feast. It's called Hanukkah. In the Middle Eastern winter. And he's walking and taking a break, and suddenly he's surrounded by people that are saying, okay, this is it. Tell us plainly, are you the Messiah or not? And of course, the question is anything but innocent, because whichever way he answers, people are going to be disturbed. And so he sidesteps the question and points to his works. Those who follow him and believe in him, those who are his sheep, understand that the work that Jesus is doing is a result of his identification with God, his identification with the Father. There's understanding and knowledge and trust between the shepherd and the sheep. And there's also protection. The ultimate kind of protection, rather than the safe life in the present. This is made abundantly clear in the next scene, which we did not read this morning. The next scene, The opponents of Jesus are taking up stones to kill him. So things that can start out pleasant can become very bad very fast. The Revelation text features an eschatological time, an end of time, when a number of the worshipers robed in white and waving palm branches and falling before the throne of God are there, and the worshipers gathered around the throne are promised that they will no longer be hungry or thirsty, or the sun won't beat upon them, and they'll be taken care of. They'll be shepherded by the Lamb that's in the throne in the center. The Lamb who's also the shepherd, who will guide them to the springs of water where God will wipe away all tears. That's what happens in the end. And the imagery of the sheep and their shepherd doesn't quite match up to our present day assumptions. Certainly faith in God as provider and protector is there, but there are shadowed valleys. There are bad things happening. Surrounding enemies, there are potential lynch mobs, as in the case of Jesus, and ordeals, even the crucifixion. And these sheep are not blindly obedient animals that we sometimes hold up as models. Rather, the images of the sheep are juxtaposed with darker and danker realities. And what the writers are trying to communicate to us is what it seems to be a life of trust is radical trust. And it's radical trust rather than blind obedience. These writers are not speaking in allegories, drawing out every analogy to the sheep that can be made in offering sheep as a model for Christians. They're speaking in metaphors, dipping into the imagery that characterize a feature of faith that carries us through the darkest hours, you see. Trust in the Good Shepherd. Trust like the ways of the sheep with the shepherd, a radical trust that empowers us to believe that the life of Christians has meaning, even though sometimes our immediate experience doesn't bear that out. I suppose that most of us in this room could tell stories of walking in the shadow of death, of walking in the dark valleys. Last Monday in Boston, beautiful day in Boston, none of those people realized that they were walking and running and standing in the shadow of death. We never know, do we? We never know when we'll find ourselves walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And the psalmist says, but we shouldn't fear evil. Because why? Because the Good Shepherd is with us. Because God is with us, is surrounding us with his grace and love. And when those bad times come, God will comfort us in our time of trouble, of sickness, of terror. And we live in the blessed promise that God will surround us with that love and grace. And that in the end, as the psalmist says, we will live in the house of the Lord forever. And one day we may be gathered around the throne of God, and someone will say, who are these people robed in white? Where did they come from? And the reply will be, they are those who have come out of the great ordeal of life. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Amen.